Welcome to the second hour's reading of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Son accused of striking dad with bat. A 33-year-old Odessa man was recently arrested after his father accused him of striking him with a baseball bat. According to an Ector County Sheriff's Office report, deputies received a disturbance call from the 2900 block of North Mercury Avenue, September 29th. And when they arrived, Jason Allen Jarman's father told them his son had been destroying things throughout the house with a bat, and when he confronted him, Jarman hit him in the shin with a 30-inch Easton bat. Deputies saw injuries on the man's leg consistent with being hit with a bat and arrested Jarman on suspicion of aggravated assault with a deadly weapon. Jarman remained in the Ector County Jail Wednesday night on a $35,000 surety bond and a parole violation charge. Woman accused of baseball attack. A 67-year-old Gardendale woman who was accused of attacking a man with a baseball bat in May was recently arrested on a warrant in connection with the case. According to an Ector County Sheriff's Office report, deputies received a disturbance call from the 16,000 block of North Dogwood on May 17th, and they learned a 22-year-old man had been assaulted during a dispute over a child. Surveillance video obtained by the Criminal Investigations Division showed Hortensia Lujan Menjores pulling the man's hair and beating him with a baseball bat while he was on the ground and kicking his face, the report stated. A warrant was issued for Menjores' arrest on suspicion of aggravated assault with a deadly weapon, and she was picked up on that warrant September 28th. Menjores was released from the Ector County Jail the following day after posting a $25,000 surety bond.
This is Reed, and this is the Midland Reporter Telegram Health and Wellness for Wednesday, October 4th, 2023. Midland Health, create true breast cancer awareness. Here we are entering October, pink ribbons everywhere, ball games, social events, church gatherings, everyone is focused on those who are going through breast cancer or who have won the fight and are now called a survivor after a diagnosis of breast cancer. And rightfully so. Anyone who has ever had to hear those words, quote, you have cancer, end quote, certainly deserves our support. They call it breast cancer awareness, but are we creating a true awareness along with highlighting those who are either fighting or have won the fight? Or is there a deeper awareness that this month of Pinktober can bring? I am sure everyone who has faced this dreaded diagnosis only wishes one thing. I wish I had known more before I had to hear those words, quote, you have breast cancer, end quote. One definition that I found for awareness is concern about and well-informed interest in a particular situation or development. Our mission here to the breast center is to create well-informed patients along with a well-informed community. One myth that we hear many, many times is, quote, I don't have to worry. I don't have any family history of breast cancer, end quote. 1 in 8 women will develop breast cancer sometime in their lifetime. Of that 12% of women who develop breast cancer, 3 out of 4, or 75% of these women will have no family history. If you gather a group of 100 women, statistically at least 12 of those women will develop breast cancer sometime in their lifetime. And 9 of those that develop breast cancer will have no family history. That is why it is important that every woman have a mammogram starting at age 40 and have their mammogram every single year. By doing this, she cuts her risk of dying from breast cancer by 40%. This seems like an important fact that needs a heightened awareness. By having this life-saving screening every year, our radiologists can compare images and detect the slightest changes that could indicate a very early breast cancer. A mammogram can see something abnormal when it is as small as a grain of salt and approximately 2 years before you would feel a lump. Now, this is information that with increased awareness can save the lives of many of our mothers, sisters, aunts, and friends, giving us more survivors to celebrate each October. So, if you happen to have a family history that doesn't include breast cancer, thank God. However, remember in the words of Dr. Stacy Smith Foley, quote, if you have breasts and you have birthdays, you have a risk for developing breast cancer, end quote. To schedule your mammogram, call 432-221-2300. Aging and health. Taking the steps to fall-proof your home. As we age, our chances of falling increases. These falls can have serious physical and psychological impacts on geriatric populations, but often are preventable. Dr. Angela Caddick, Associate Professor in the Roy M. and Phyllis Goh Huffington Center on Aging at Baylor College of Medicine, offers first steps and tips on creating a safe living environment for loved ones. Quote, about 27% of adults 65 years of age or older fall annually, and about 10% of those suffer a fall-related injury. If you've experienced a fall or have a fear of falling, you are at a higher risk of falling. Once an older adult falls, they can develop post-fall anxiety syndrome, end quote, said Caddick. Quote, it's important for older populations to remain as independent as possible in their own homes. You can help support this by making sure common falling hazards are not in their homes, end quote. Living spaces. There should be clutter-free paths in and to bedrooms and living rooms, especially if the individual uses an assistive device like a cane or walker. Rugs should be removed from the house as they increase the risk of slipping, even with fasteners such as Velcro or tape. Extension cords should not be in the walking path and should be tucked around or under couches and dressers. If rooms are carpeted, there should not be any loose or uneven patches, as these can increase the risk of tripping. If stairs are in the home, it is a good idea to color the steps with high contrasting colors to help older adults see where the step lands, especially if they have a visual impairment. Kitchen. Everything in the cooking space should be easily accessible and at eye level. Move items from high shelves to a lower shelf, and if a step stool is needed, it should be one with a bar attached for stability. Quote, some older adults are prone to falling after standing for long periods of time. And this can happen while cooking. Using a high stool that lets them sit can be helpful, end quote, Caddick said. Bathroom. Caddick emphasizes creating a safe environment in the bathroom, as older adults are most likely to fall here. Grab bars should be installed near the shower or tub and by the toilet to help navigate around the space. Towel racks are not substitutes for grab bars as they are not designed to hold a significant amount of weight. Slip-resistant aids should be placed in the bathtub or shower, and if the tub requires an individual to step over the lip to get in, consider purchasing a sliding tub transfer bench that can make the process safer and easier. These benches also can be useful for seated showers if an older adult cannot stand for long periods of time. Families also should consider purchasing raised toilet seats with attached arms if their loved ones have mobility issues. Outdoor spaces. From gardening to simply enjoying nice weather, there are many activities for older adults to do in their front and backyards. When enjoying the outdoor spaces, seniors should always wear shoes. If they are walking across yards or unstable sidewalks, an assistive device such as a cane or rollator can be a good idea, as unpredictable and uneven terrain from tree roots or animals digging unseen holes in the ground can cause falls. If there is a porch or patio, it should be well maintained to prevent falls. If older adults like to tend to plants and other greenery, have a walker that allows them to sit without bending down all the way to the ground. If a loved one does fall, they should seek immediate medical attention if they strike their head, are on blood thinners, or lose consciousness. If pain persists after the fall, see a doctor, as it may be indicative of a fracture or significant laceration. Quote, these tips are great for geriatric populations, but they aren't the only population at a high risk for falling, end quote, said Caddick. Quote, people with cognitive impairment, dementia, arthritis, orthostatic hypertension, or even neuropathy also can experience a fall, end quote. What to expect for the flu, RSV, COVID-19 season. Influenza respiratory, syncytial virus, RSV, and COVID-19 are all part of the seasonal respiratory virus lineup. According to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, CDC, the upcoming fall and winter are expected to have a similar number of hospitalizations for respiratory diseases as last year. However, they say it's important to note that these hospitalization numbers are higher than before the COVID-19 pandemic, when the leading causes were the flu and RSV. Matthew Beneker, PhD, director of the Clinical Virology Laboratory at Mayo Clinic, says researchers in the Northern Hemisphere look to the trends in the Southern Hemisphere, where winter is ending, to help forecast the upcoming respiratory season. Quote, we saw in Australia that they had a typical to, in some areas, more severe influenza season. And that's what I expect this year is more of what we saw pre-pandemic, end quote, says Beneker. Quote, whether it's an average year or a more severe year will be based on a few factors. How well people abide by all the lessons we learned about staying home when you're sick, masking if you're sick, getting your influenza vaccination, but also the type of virus that's circulating, end quote, he says. The CDC says the 2023 Southern Hemisphere flu vaccine reduced hospitalizations by 52%. If similar influenza virus strains spread in the Northern Hemisphere, the 2023-24 vaccine might provide equal protection. Strains of influenza. Beneker says there has been a predominance of a few different strains of influenza over the last few years. Quote, one is called H3N2 influenza A virus, a common influenza A virus that circulated for years. And then, in some areas, the pandemic strain from 2009, the H1N1 influenza strain, has also been in circulation. We typically see those influenza A strains anywhere from November to February or March here in the U.S., end quote, says Beneker. Quote, we also see a strain of influenza called influenza B, which usually causes a little bit less severe disease, and that typically comes up toward the tail end of the influenza season, in the February, March, and April timeframe, end quote, he adds. Preventing illness during respiratory season. There are some unknowns in the outlook, including the timing, the specific virus strains, and what new COVID-19 variant might emerge. That's why prevention is critical, says Beneker. The good news is that there are vaccines for these three seasonal illnesses, including updated COVID-19 vaccines and new vaccines for the prevention of RSV in those 60 and older, infants, and those who are pregnant. Quote, it's an exciting time in terms of prevention strategies for these viruses, end quote, says Beneker. Quote, then you get to the basics, good hand hygiene. If you're sick, stay home. If you have to get out, wear a mask if you have any of these symptoms. And then testing so we know what we're dealing with and can take good steps to prevent transmission to other people, end quote. Children's Health. Healthy Kids Running Series to again take place this fall. The Healthy Kids Running Series will take place this fall. The series consists of 5 weekly races for kids ages 2 years to students in the 8th grade, and races in Midland will be held at 4 p.m. Sunday, beginning October 15th, for 5 straight weeks. Registration is $45 total per child for the entire 5 races. Points are awarded based on finish each week, and at the end of the 5 race series, the top finishers with the most points will receive a trophy. All participants will receive a t-shirt at the beginning of the series, as all participants will receive a medal at the end of the series. The race distances vary based on age, and the races are run on grass fields. Age groups and race distances are as follows. 2 to 3 years old, 50-yard dash. 4 to 5 years old, 100-yard dash. Kindergarten and first grade, 3/4 mile. 2nd and 3rd grade, 1/2 mile. 4th and 5th grade, 1 mile. 6th through 8th grades, 1 mile. Healthy Kids Running Series has been operating in Midland during the fall and spring since October 2021. The series had approximately 200 kids participate in each of the 3 previous sessions. This fall 2023 session will be the fifth consecutive session in Midland about Healthy Kids Running Series. It is a national organization that was created to motivate kids to lead a healthy and active lifestyle through a positive introduction to the world of running. It was founded in 2009 to combat increasing rates of childhood obesity in America. Its founder designed a running program that provides a fun environment and builds self-esteem. HKRS is a national community-based nonprofit organization designed for kids to get active, feel accomplished, and lay the foundation for a healthy lifestyle. CDC proposes using antibiotic as morning after pill against STDs. New York. U.S. health officials plan to endorse a common antibiotic as a morning after pill that gay and bisexual men can use to try to avoid some increasingly common sexually transmitted diseases. The proposed CDC guideline was released Monday, and officials will move to finalize it after a 45-day public comment period. With STD rates rising to record levels, quote, more tools are desperately needed, end quote, said Dr. Jonathan Merman of the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. The proposal comes after studies found some people who took the antibiotic doxycycline within 3 days of unprotected sex were far less likely to get chlamydia, syphilis, or gonorrhea compared with people who did not take the pills after sex. The guideline is specific to the group that has been most studied, gay and bisexual men and transgender women who had a STD in the previous 12 months and were at high risk to get infected again. There's less evidence that the approach works for other people, including heterosexual men and women. That could change as more research is done, said Merman, who oversees the CDC's STD efforts. Doxycycline, a cheap antibiotic that has been available for more than 40 years, is a treatment for health problems including acne, chlamydia, and Rocky Mountain spotted fever. The CDC guidelines were based on 4 studies of using doxycycline against bacterial STDs. A year ago, San Francisco's health department began promoting doxycycline as a morning-after prevention measure. With infection rates rising, quote, we didn't feel like we could wait, end quote, said Dr. Stephanie Cohen, who oversees the department's STD prevention work. Some other city, county, and state health departments, mostly on the West Coast, followed suit. The drug's side effects include stomach problems and rashes after sun exposure. Some research has found it ineffective in heterosexual women. And widespread use of doxycycline as a preventative measure could, theoretically, contribute to mutations that make bacteria impervious to the drug. CDC proposes using antibiotic as morning after pill against STDs. New York. U.S. health officials plan to endorse a common antibiotic as a morning-after pill that gay and bisexual men can use to try to avoid some increasingly common sexually transmitted diseases. The proposed CDC guideline was released Monday, and officials will move to finalize it after a 45-day public comment period. With STD rates rising to record levels, quote, more tools are desperately needed, end quote, said Dr. Jonathan Merman of the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. The proposal comes after studies found some people who took the antibiotic doxycycline within 3 days of unprotected sex were far less likely to get chlamydia, syphilis, or gonorrhea compared with people who did not take the pills after sex. The guideline is specific to the group that has been most studied, gay and bisexual men and transgender women who had a STD in the previous 12 months and were at high risk to get infected again. There's less evidence that the approach works for other people, including heterosexual men and women. That could change as more research is done, said Merman, who oversees the CDC's STD efforts. Doxycycline, a cheap antibiotic that has been available for more than 40 years, is a treatment for health problems including acne, chlamydia, and Rocky Mountain spotted fever. The CDC guidelines were based on 4 studies of using doxycycline against bacterial STDs. A year ago, San Francisco's health department began promoting doxycycline as a morning-after prevention measure. With infection rates rising, quote, "We didn't feel like we could wait," end quote, said Dr. Stephanie Cohen, who oversees the department's STD prevention work. Some other city, county, and state health departments, mostly on the West Coast, followed suit. The drug side effects include stomach problems and rashes after sun exposure. Some research has found it ineffective in heterosexual women. And widespread use of doxycycline as a preventative measure could, theoretically, contribute to mutations that make bacteria impervious to the drug. What to expect for the flu, RSV, COVID-19 season. Influenza, respiratory, syncytial virus, RSV, and COVID-19 are all part of the seasonal respiratory virus lineup. According to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, CDC, the upcoming fall and winter are expected to have a similar number of hospitalizations for respiratory diseases as last year. However, they say it's important to note that these hospitalization numbers are higher than before the COVID-19 pandemic, when the leading causes were the flu and RSV. Matthew Beneker, PhD, director of the Clinical Virology Laboratory at Mayo Clinic, says researchers in the Northern Hemisphere look to the trends in the Southern Hemisphere, where winter is ending, to help forecast the upcoming respiratory season. Quote, "We saw in Australia that they had a typical to, in some areas, more severe influenza season. And that's what I expect this year is more of what we saw pre-pandemic," end quote, says Beneker. Quote, "Whether it's an average year or a more severe year will be based on a few factors. How well people abide by all the lessons we learned about staying home when you're sick, masking if you're sick, getting your influenza vaccination, but also the type of virus that's circulating," end quote, he says. The CDC says the 2023 Southern Hemisphere flu vaccine reduced hospitalizations by 52%. If similar influenza virus strains spread in the Northern Hemisphere, the 2023-24 vaccine might provide equal protection. Strains of influenza. Beneker says there has been a predominance of a few different strains of influenza over the last few years. Quote, "One is called H3N2 influenza A virus, a common influenza A virus that circulated for years. And then, in some areas, the pandemic strain from 2009, the H1N1 influenza strain, has also been in circulation. We typically see those influenza A strains anywhere from November to February or March here in the U.S., end quote, says Beneker. Quote, "We also see a strain of influenza called influenza B, which usually causes a little bit less severe disease, and that typically comes up toward the tail end of the influenza season, in the February, March, and April timeframe," end quote, he adds. Preventing illness during respiratory season. There are some unknowns in the outlook, including the timing, the specific virus strains, and what new COVID-19 variant might emerge. That's why prevention is critical, says Beneker. The good news is that there are vaccines for these three seasonal illnesses, including updated COVID-19 vaccines and new vaccines for the prevention of RSV in those 60 and older, infants, and those who are pregnant. Quote, "It's an exciting time in terms of prevention strategies for these viruses," end quote, says Beneker. Quote, "Then you get to the basics, good hand hygiene. If you're sick, stay home. If you have to get out, wear a mask if you have any of these symptoms. And then testing so we know what we're dealing with and can take good steps to prevent transmission to other people," end quote.
Here is the Dear Abby column that appeared in the Midland Reporter-Telegram on Thursday, October 5th. Father feels helpless as marriage crumbles. Dear Abby, I have failed in a 30-year relationship and as a father of five. After feeling terrible for a number of years, I was finally diagnosed with a blood disorder. I was prescribed a chemotherapy pill, and 2 years later was diagnosed with extreme neuropathy. Depression set in. I let myself go and barely got out of bed. My wife complained because she wanted me to be more involved with the children, but I failed. We we are now going through a divorce. I have been cut off from my 13-year-old son, and I don't know how to reconnect. He's the youngest of my kids, and he's very special to me because he is adopted, as was I. I need help. I'm not good at asserting myself. Please help me, because my heart is broken. Signed, Needs Help in Pennsylvania. Dear Needs Help, the individuals who can provide the help you are looking for would be your divorce lawyer and a licensed mental health professional. The former will see to it that your legal rights as a parent are enforced. The latter can help you become more assertive as well as, hopefully, reconnect with your youngest child. Your heart may be broken, but it will heal more quickly if you start now. Dear Abby, out of nowhere, my husband announced he thinks we should unfriend each other on Facebook. I got upset and told him it would make me feel insecure about us because I think there is no reason for it. I find it very suspicious, and if there is a reason, I think we should split up. He unfriended me anyway. He called me closed-minded and said I value Facebook over our marriage. Is he right? Signed, Social Media Minded in Georgia. Dear SMM, no, he's not right. Your husband's announcement was a red flag. When a spouse does what your husband has done, it's usually because he doesn't want his partner to see what he is posting and doesn't want to be monitored. You need to discuss this further so he can explain his reasons. If the discussion is not productive, offer your husband the option of counseling with a licensed marriage and family therapist. If he refuses, consult an attorney so your interests will be protected. Dear Abby, our church has a potluck every Saturday. How do we deal with the freeloaders, an adult family of three who never bring anything? They jump up to be first in line, don't help clean up, and never fail to take leftovers home with them. They act like they deserve free meals. We are a small church and could use an extra dish, help in cleaning up, etc. Thank you for your advice. Signed, Outraged in Oregon. Dear Outraged, someone, preferably but not necessarily the religious leader of your church, should take the family aside privately and explain the rules to them. It may not happen until the rest of you complain about what's going on. If that family cannot afford to bring a dish, the least they could do is assist with cleaning up.
Thank you for joining us for the readings of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.